You know, I'm all about helping normal people build financial freedom, but here's the problem. Making $1 million from your job would take forever. We don't want to wait that long. The people who actually get ahead, not the lottery winners, not the high earners, the ordinary people who quietly build real wealth, they're not just earning more than everyone else. They're thinking about money completely differently. They think about it as time. Not like time is money. Everyone knows that one. I mean that how you invest, how you make the most, what you do with your money all comes down to time. How much time you have changes everything. It tells you where your money should go. It determines how hard it can work for you. And it's the reason some people build serious wealth on ordinary incomes, while others save hard for decades, put in all of that work, and just never quite get there. So if you get this right, you don't have to earn every dollar yourself. Your money earns alongside you. Once the money and time relationship clicks, truly everything changes. So today I'm going to show you exactly how it works and how to use it to build your own financial freedom faster than you think. So welcome to Making Sense. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee. I'm Frances Cook, a financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. I want to help as many people as possible reach financial freedom by taking control of their money. You can help me in that mission. Two really easy ways. First, hit subscribe wherever you like to listen: YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other podcast player. Then send this episode to a friend so we can all level up together. Then the show grows and I can keep giving you the money info that makes a difference for your life. Okay, back to it. Now let's start with what everyone probably expects this to get into. Investing is crucial for getting your financial freedom and keeping it. Your money needs to work hard, not just you. In fact, send your money to work instead of you. You can't expect to save everything you need for financial freedom all by yourself. There will be so much money to accumulate on your own. You're going to make investments do quite a bit of this work for you. Once you understand the money world, you can start treating the dollars that you earn as if they're employees. You can send them to work, get them earning money for you so that you reach financial independence without doing all of the heavy lifting yourself. And you can eventually have so many dollar employees earning money for you that you won't have to earn it at all yourself. But think about how any company works. You might have a lot of people doing a certain job because it's important, but you will never have a company filled with everyone doing the exact same job. You might have an accounting department, an IT department, a marketing department, and you need all of them because they do totally different things. And they have to work together to make the company successful. You are the company. Your money is the employees. And you need different dollars doing different jobs if you're going to be successful. And the way you assign those jobs is by understanding that money and time are everything in deciding your strategy. Time is the key for unlocking what you do and when. That timeline should always be adapted to our own personal situation and our own needs, our own priorities, but we've got to start with this general timeline so you know the rules before you go breaking them for your needs. Now, generally, the more time you have, the more you want to invest in risky assets. When I talk about risk, it's not risky like not looking both ways before you cross the street. And it's not risky like throwing money into your mate's business idea to start up a new cryptocurrency with no experience in anything like that. That is tossing your money into dumb stuff, not making risky investments. Sorry, rude, I know, but sometimes I just got to say these things. In the investing world, risk means something different. It's basically how volatile something is, which is just finance world talk for how much something goes up and down. Volatile is it bouncing around, and that translates to risk. It might give you money hand over fist 1 year. It might give you absolutely nothing the next. That's why risky assets need time, because over several years, it smooths out. Those hand over fist times outweigh the bad stuff that happens in the low years. You just don't know ahead of time which year will be which. Whatever the gurus say, nobody knows ahead of time. You've got to give it that time. But they are still proven investments with known outcomes. They're just going to bounce around at different levels on the way to making you money. So if you're younger, you can dive into investing more forcefully because you have more time to ride out the waves. Now, the rule of 100 gives us a baseline to help us figure that out. What is the rule of 100? Take your age, subtract it from 100, and what's left is the percentage of your money that you, according to this rule, should put into riskier, high growth investments like shares and property. And the rest should be in cash savings or less risky investments like bonds. This works as a rule of thumb for the average person because it immediately demonstrates that younger people can afford to go harder in building up wealth, generating higher risk investments, but they still need some safe money because life happens. No matter what, you're still having a certain amount in the safety bucket. Meanwhile, older people need more cash on hand because they're in the spending phase of life. Without mentioning the D word, older people don't have as much time to ride out a market downturn and then cash in on the upswing, but they can still put a certain amount into riskier assets because, hey, nobody knows when death is coming. You could have a few decades of retirement years, in which case you do want some money still working and growing on your behalf. So for me, at 38 now, 62% of my money, according to this rule, goes into shares or other risky growth assets. Now, when I was in my 20s, it would have been more. But of course, this is a general rule of thumb. And from there, you customize it to your own situation. So let's stick with me as an example, because I know myself the best. And then we can lay out what works best for me. You can kind of see how this works in practice, figure out how to customize it for you, right? So when I customize this rule of 100 for me, I think about how I'm ambitious with what I want to achieve with my money. I am in the building phase of my life and I'm all in on building myself true financial independence. I'm fine with the costs that come with that. I am fine with the choices needed to make that happen because I see that end goal so worth it to me. I also trust myself to not panic when the market goes down. I know I'm not going to be yanking money out if something happens. You know, that would cause mayhem for future me, but I know I'm not going to do that. I've already had a trial of fire in that big old COVID-19 crisis. I held my nerve through that, so that's good to know. I also have a good understanding of the share market, and that always calms your nerves, I think, when things get weird. If you understand what's happening underneath it, you can kind of see what's causing the weirdness, and it doesn't make you feel as panicky when you can see what's happening, why. I've built up that life experience of some pretty gnarly market dips through my years investing. I know it can get weird out there and that it recovers. I also know, as someone who is ambitious and wants financial independence, true financial independence, and a good life while I'm doing it, I have to ratchet up my efforts a little bit if I want to get to where I'm going. These days, that means I would customize to having roughly 80% of my money in growth assets. And for that, I'm talking about shares, property, and my business. You know, these are things that I invest in. They have quite a bit of risk to them, but they are designed to grow my income. But even as someone who is quite aggressive with my money, it's not 100% of my money that goes into growth assets, because that would totally unbalance things. It would be like a company with all marketers and no accountants. We just can't be doing that. however you might feel about that. We can't be doing that. We'll get into that more in a second. But right now, I want you to think about the rule of 100. Get your baseline number there, and then think about how much you might or might not be boosting that. Think about your goals, your risk appetite. How money makes you feel? Are you calm? Do you feel in control? Does it make you a bit nervous? And then you can adapt from there. You can ratchet up, ratchet down, depending on what you've answered. So I really like the rule of 100 as a place to start in figuring out your own money timeline. But then why, even as someone who's quite aggressive with my money, why do I still have some of it in safer, more boring places? Because we like to supercharge without getting into hot water. Because once again, we're organizing our money by time. And time helps us understand just how hard we can go on things like investing without leaving ourselves with no safety net for life's little fun challenges. So when it comes to organizing our money, employees, most of us need a mix with things like cash savings accounts, then shorter-term investments like bonds, and long-term investments like shares or property. That mix is where it can get tricky, but you can work that out by considering now money, soon money, and later money. So you think about how soon do you need the money? When you have that now money that you need for current bills, anything that life might spring on you now, as the name would suggest. You have soon money that is for bigger life issues that could pop up. They're not entirely unexpected, but they're not here right now today. And then you have later money for building your future with. Your now money is things like your everyday bank account and a savings account that you can access immediately. You would have at least 1 month of expenses in those savings. You can expect maybe 1-2% back on that from interest rates. And then you have money that you might need in 1-6 months. That's cash still, but in a higher interest savings account that you can access in a few days. And from that, you could expect returns of maybe a smidge over 2%. If you don't think you need that money for 6-12 months, then you can look at something like rotating term deposits, where they all sort of mature at different times so that you get a decent interest rate, but you can still access funds within just a few months. It's not totally locked away. So for that, you can expect returns of around 3%. Then maybe if you don't need to access it for 1-5 years, you know, you might have some stuff coming up, but it's not immediate. That's things like bonds or fixed income investments. And for that, you might get 3-5%. And then your proper long-term money, 5 years or more, shares, property investment. And for that, it's we're looking at sort of over 7% per year, but smoothed out over a period of years, right? Now, obviously, this is all a general rule of thumb, but they give us a starting place for understanding it all. And again, you're seeing the time factor here, right? So now money is life right now, bills, sudden surprises. Soon money might be things like emergency savings, or you need cash for if you lose your job, your car develops a fatal problem, or your partner leaves you and you have to pay all the bills by yourself. Sorry, it's all a little grim here, but they're also incredibly common problems that you need to be prepared for. Those savings will go into an account that's hard to access, but not impossible. You don't want to see it day to day and be tempted, but you also want to be able to get that cash quite quickly if you need to. Quick interruption to say, if you're enjoying this episode, you'll love The Market Memo, my weekly newsletter where I teach you how to actually invest. No jargon, no spreadsheets, just real talk about shares and how to make your money work for you. It's the thing I wish I'd had when I was starting out. You can sign up for free at francescook.co.nz/invest. That's francescook.co.nz/invest. But don't worry, I'll put the link in the show notes and the description of this podcast. All right, back to it. I think the trickiest part with this money, especially anything that you're keeping in cash, in savings accounts, is getting used to the idea that this money won't be doing much work for you. It's not building. It's not the later money. It's not earning much. This is a dollar employee that you could look at and think, you aren't doing much. Because the general rule is, and again, this is where you're going to see the money-time relationship. The general rule is the easier and the faster it is to get to that money, the less you earn on it. So you might be tempted to take that money and throw it into the share market for a bit because you're saying, hey, it's earning great right now and I can pull it back out if it's needed. Why should I miss out on the money it could be earning me? That could get me ahead faster. But clever ideas like this, and I'm saying clever ideas in quotation marks there, it misses the point. That money is your safety. Safety means you don't earn much on it. But that safety is also what allows you to earn more elsewhere. It is part of the system. You need it. Because here's the other part of it. The faster you can access that money, the less you will earn on it. But the other part of that money and time equation, you have to make that sacrifice in some areas. It is important. But we have to balance that by making sure you only sacrifice what you need to and nothing more. That's why you've got to understand the money and time relationship. So why do we make that sacrifice of some money being in cash savings? Because you can't be cashing out of shares when you have an emergency in your life. The emergency could be that you've lost your job, which is happening because the economy has suddenly tanked. It's absolutely a possibility right now. And if that is the case, then your shares will also be worth less because, well, the economy is tanking and you'll be forced to sell them when they're worth less, possibly a lot less. When the share market goes down, it can really go down. And that's fine if you can sit back and wait it out. I've done that before more than once. Overall, made a lot of money by sitting back and waiting it out. But if you're forced to cash out at exactly those sorts of times because you've tried to pull a clever trick and get a little extra by putting your savings into shares, the emergency money you were relying on might be so much less than you need, and you will lose so much more money overall than what you would have lost by just biting the bullet and putting some of that safety money into savings. It sucks. But those emergency savings need to stay in cash, easy to get if you need them, and keeping their same value. The good thing is, by the time you follow the investing I talk about elsewhere on the podcast, you stick with it for a few years, those emergency savings will eventually look so small that you won't care if they're cash. 10 grand in a bank account will feel big at the beginning of your financial independence journey. By the end, it will look small and you truly won't care about any missed opportunities there. I'm not joking. Let me come back to that point in just a moment. I want to finish this other point first. Treating your now money like savings as later money like shares, that is just the greed devil on your shoulder. And the greed devil can sabotage things for you just as badly as the fear devil. So you need them under control. That's why I'm giving you these timelines, because they create a sliding scale that balances the need for money on hand compared with how much you could be earning on it. You can't keep everything super safe cash and earning nothing. That means you'll probably never be financially independent. Your money has to be working for you. But you also don't want to have everything in the share market and survive on a wing and a prayer, hoping that nothing goes wrong. Something will always go wrong. That's life. It's a necessary sacrifice. The savings are a smaller amount of money that you keep close to hand so you can protect yourself and your loved ones from bizarre twists of fate. You do not want it exposed to the market through shares. And you have to take care of the now first. Only once you've got that now money sorted are you ready for the later money. Later money is where you make serious cash by sending your money to work so you can have your life back. But later money needs so much time to work. Higher earning investments like shares and property, sometimes an investment like starting a business, that's where later money goes. And let's go back to the COVID crash again. Remember when the share market started tanking and KiwiSaver and retirement accounts went down and many people went into a blind panic, I was inundated with emails from people at that time asking for help and saying they needed this money for a house they wanted to buy soon, or that they were relying on that money for whatever reason and now didn't know what to do. And I found it really hard to know what to say, because if you need that money soon, it shouldn't be anywhere near shares in the first place. That's the deal. Shares are for your later money. And if you put now money into them, or even your soon money, then eventually you're going to get a really nasty lesson in why people say not to do that. Once a crash has happened, the most you can really do is leave it alone for the recovery. You need to get through using any other cash source that you have. Shares need time so that they can recover after these inevitable blips. And the blips happen and are actually an important way that you make money in the long term. They're a feature, not a bug. You just can't sell your shares during that time. Now, let's go back a little bit to something that I said earlier. I mentioned that $10,000 in your bank account is eventually going to seem small to you. And indeed, I did not stutter. Depending on where you are in your journey, that might seem like a truly ridiculous thing to be saying. But I promise you, when I first started my money journey, I would have laughed out loud at that sentence too. I am not a Nepo baby. Part of me would have loved to have been. But alas, no, I am someone who comes from a school where our biggest claim to fame was a bunch of kids nearly beating a cop to death. And I am someone who at certain times, we were quite literally having to figure out ways that we were going to get enough food on the table to eat. I'm a scrapper who can put on a suit and mingle with fancy people these days. But I tell you what, I never feel like one of those fancy people. It's just not my world. But it's true what they say. People overestimate what you can do in a year and they underestimate what you can achieve in 5 years. And what I've done over the time that I've learned about money and put these lessons into practice has meant that I've now come far enough to say something like, eventually $10,000 won't seem like a big sacrifice to have in a savings account. And I say that and I mean it. It is amazing what just a few years can do. Give it time, put the little things into practice, then build the bigger wins. Then the bigger ones after that. And investing and understanding how time and money are linked are core to how you can do that. By being smart about your now, soon, and later money, you don't have to save up everything by yourself to hit elite status. You're going to make your money employees do it for you. And they're going to do it with compounding returns. Compounding just means that you invest your money, that investment earns a profit, you reinvest the profit, and then you have profits earning profits. Sometimes you have the profit of the profit earning profit. You see how that can build up really fast. It's just this beautiful money snowball. It starts off so small, but the further you roll it, the bigger it gets, and it's soon far out of all proportion from the original little snowball that you made. And just as the snowball gets bigger, the further it rolls, compounding returns get bigger with more time. Now, if maths immediately makes you tune out, don't sweat it. You don't actually need to understand the maths of compounding, I don't think. You just need to know that it does work. Much like I can't really work out what electricity truly is, how it's generated or how it gets from A to B, but I know when I flick the light switch, it turns on. You just need to know how compounding works. In reality, you don't need to do the maths yourself. That is what online calculators are for. You just need to know how it works and how to stop it from electrocuting you. Remember that compounding returns are anything that earns money, and that money itself earns more money. So for an investment, it earns profit 1 year, you reinvest that money, and that profit goes and earns more profit. You make money from money instead of you going to work. Time is money here. If you are okay with maths, then there is also a really simple equation that can make it real for you. If people don't like maths, then go into a happy place for like 2 minutes. I won't spend long on this, but it's the rule of 72. Now, the rule of 72 shows how fast you can double your money. And almost always shows you that it's less time than you think. You just take 72, you divide it by your expected interest rate or rate of return. If you're investing in shares, the average rate of return, 7% each year. 72 divided by 7, 10 years to double your money. This assumes that you keep reinvesting the money as it earns it for you, because that's how compounding works. And again, it's your profits earning more profits. So you can't spend what you make, not yet, but you don't have to do anything else. You just chucked in some money and left it alone. It'll just grow. No extra money from you, no shuffling around, just money making money. If you take control of this process, that is how you build financial freedom. Because while you start out saving and investing little bits, soon those investments will be making profits. Those profits make profits. Your money grows out of all proportion to what you originally put in. Compound interest is the secret to how us normal people achieve financial independence. Like I said earlier, we don't have to earn $1 million ourselves. The thing is, doing this successfully means taking a long-term view and learning how to invest with one eye on the risks, always keeping the worst risks at arm's length. But that is why we're smart. We treat money according to time, and we balance the need to put our money to work with protecting ourselves now and making sure that neither one is undermining the other. You master compounding and time, and you have the secret to making the most money with the least effort. Time is everything when you're dealing with money. Time is how you know where to invest your money. It's how you make money, and it's how you lose money. I can dig more into the investing strategies in another video if you like. Leave me a comment if you would like this, but this is the big underrated tactic for now. If it helped you, send it to a friend so we can all level up our money together. Until next time, have a great day. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most situations. It's not individual financial advice. If you're after that, a financial advisor is always the best bet.